everyone, and welcome back to Radical Love with Ains and Lex. I'm Ains.
And I'm Lex.
And we're so excited to be back with you guys for like our first official episode of Return. Today, yes, we are going to be looking at chapter one of the book of Ruth.
So exciting.
Yay, Ruth. Great story. Also, starting with powerful women in the Old Testament, which is always,
amen,
you know, exciting. This is a podcast run by two women, so what more would you expect? But fun. I like the vibes.
Yes, it's going to be great.
So whoever has listened to the podcast before, you may remember that we used to start every episode with Rose, Bud, Thorn, which is a fun activity. I recommend doing it at the dinner table with your roommates, with your family, with your friends, with your acquaintances so that they may become your friends. It's a fun way to start a conversation as a bit of a check-in. Yeah. But we realized it was taking up a lot of time, which is both probably fun, especially if you know us, like, oh, this is what's going on in their life. But as we're trying to make the episodes a bit shorter and perhaps, you know, more focused, we are going to do a bit more like intentional check-ins where we're trying to be more, you know, more concise with our responses while also giving you insight into how we're doing. So today we're going to start with a classic. Describe your week in three words.
Ooh, okay. This is a side note really quick. On the Rosebud Thorn track, when I was on a trip with Evan back in August, we were literally at the dinner table and his niece, who's like 10 years old, she was like, I want everyone to go around and do a rose and a thorn of the day. And she's never listened to the podcast. I was like, that is so cute.
That's cute, especially she's so young. And
like, I know. It was
she cares
so
about other people. It's very nice.
Yeah, it was. Okay, so my week in three words. I would say productive.
Okay, girl.
Refreshed and excited.
And now I'm going to offer you the time to tell us a little bit more.
I know. So very productive. I think school has been just totally hitting me with just a wave of work. I thought it was going to be, you know, an easier semester, but that is not turning out the case. So I've just like really been head down, really focusing this week, which is great. And I would say refreshed because, you know, this is, we're like about a month into school and I've just kind of been like in a weird mindset of like not really here, like missing home, missing people, like, I don't know, just a weird transition. And I feel like this week I really just like focused more on like pursuing into the hobbies that I like and just like really focusing back like on myself and my faith and everything like that. And excited because I get to see Evan this weekend and celebrate his 21st. Yay. That's
very exciting.
Okay. What about you, Ains?
Yeah, I'm going to go with football. Overwhelming.
Ooh.
And connection.
Ooh, that's really good.
Thanks. So football, I'm on my dorm's flag football team, and then I'm on a co-rec flag football team. And also there's football games on the weekends. So the P-Dub flag football team, we crumbled, guys. It was so bad. But my first play in flag football ever, I caught an interception. So
wow, that's so
yay
good.
Yay me. It was really hype. And then we kind of got our butts kicked. So it was a little rough. But I think we're on the up and up. I think we just need, you know, high effort, high energy. Mm-hmm. Our offense was struggling. I say that as a safety. So like, obviously I'm going to be like, eh, it was the other people. But that was fun. And then co-rec team, it is way less intense. It is like so much more chill, which you would be surprised. You think like guys are kind of a lot about that sort of stuff, but it was like fun and chill. And they have a rule where every other play has to be a girl either passing it or throwing it. So I got to throw a touchdown pass.
Hey, so that was fun.
So, and then ignore like the times where I didn't do as well. I'm just gonna tell you guys the good parts. And then overwhelming, retweet to what you were saying, Lexi. It's just been a lot. It's been a lot. Yeah. I don't really know how else to put it. I like don't have time at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. I've never been this busy in my life. I thought I was busy before. No, lies.
Right.
So
I've bailed on so many people recently. just because I'm like, I have to do schoolwork. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's annoying that I can't. It's like a lot of my stuff is RA things, and so it's like I have to do it, which I like, but also it's like a lot of time.
Yeah,
but it's good, and it's a front loaded job, so that'll lighten up eventually. And then connection, I've just had some great conversations, especially for one of my classes. I have to do this thing where I talk to people about me. So that's been fun, hearing everyone's perspectives on my strengths, things I need to improve upon, impressions, things I should stop doing, all that sort of jazz. So that's been really cool. And I've enjoyed like meeting with all my residents in my one-on-one meetings with them.
Yeah.
Because they're very entertaining.
That was a good week for you. I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I'm starting my homework after we record, which is about 10 p.m. That's okay. Crazy. It's like, it's fine. I have my classes don't start till 11, so you'd think, oh, she does a lot in the morning, but she doesn't.
No, it's hard to wake up early.
It's like, also, I move real slow in the morning. I don't know how people are so productive, because it's like, you get behind so quickly versus at night, like the whole night's ahead of you. Technically, you don't have anywhere you need to be.
Right.
You'd like to be in bed, but it's not required. Anyways.
That's funny.
So that was our little insight. I totally talked more than I should have, but.
That's how we are. It's fun. I love
that's
it.
That's how we are. And that's a fact. So welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. We're still chatty. And it's like a good time for us to catch in with. Catch up with each other, check in.
Exactly. Half the reason we love the podcast.
No, like actually, it's so fun to be able to chat. And like I said, it's probably fun for people who know us, and the people who don't are like, okay, can we move it along?
You just have to listen to every single episode we've ever posted, and then you'll know us so well.
Too well. Cringe. Cringe. You'll know too much about... I don't know. I feel like I was cringe. I've already said that, though. Broken record. Yeah. Don't want to be too self-deprecating. But
but along the note of we've changed and we're hoping to grow, in hopes of doing this study through Ruth, we are going along with y'all as we do it. So most of the questions we have, we've taken from other studies that we really like, just so that we're also learning and we're also growing, and it's not coming from a place of, wow, we know this passage so well, this is what it means, because the Bible is confusing.
Especially camping out in the Old Testament. This is a lot. There's a lot of context that is so important. I mean, for all of the Bible. But I feel like especially this stuff, it's like they're name dropping. That seems wrong to say that in reference to the Bible. But it's like all these different places, these different people. Yeah. And you're like, who, what, when, where? So, yeah, there's definitely, like, you're going to realize when I read this passage, names. I don't know how to pronounce everything. I don't know what everything necessarily means. I have a study Bible, so that's my cheat, is I look at the little notes here as well.
Yeah, that's nice.
But they still don't, they don't get pronunciation, which I think if anyone's here is into the art of writing a new, you know, version of the Bible, I think you should put pronunciation in there.
Yeah, I'm forcing Ainsley to read the passage this week. but setting the stage for the rest of the week's, we are going to read the passage all the way through. So if you have the Bible open, you can follow along and highlight things. But say you're like on a walk or driving, just listen and you're going to get to just hear it all and join right in.
Yeah. So I'll be reading now. As I said, this is the first chapter of Ruth. So verses 1 through 22. There's 22 verses, and I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. So if you have a different version and you're like, what is this girl reading? Does she have a thesaurus out? I don't. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons, and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought that there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is that Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest.
Thank you, Ains. That was fabulous.
You're welcome.
Lots of hard words there in the beginning. Crazy.
The names are a challenge, but yeah, hopefully that was
yes, that was great. Thank you so much. You can tell you've read in church before. I love it. Transporting me back to high school. It was really cool when I told my roommates last week after we recorded our intro that we were doing Ruth. Two of them had actually done a Bible study with FIMU on Ruth. They were like, "We loved it. It was fabulous." So really super excited for this. And with that first part of the passage being kind of just like the lineage and then people dying and all of this stuff, the funny thing is that one of my roommates saw the other one writing the names down in her notebook, like a family tree, because she was like trying to like get the name straight and get it all together. And then she would cross them off one by one when they sadly passed away. Brutal.
So there were not a lot left.
But honestly, I think it'd be an effective exercise to understand who is left and what is going on. So yes, Ames, any first impressions from this passage after reading it through? What's jumping out to you?
Yeah, so I'm currently in an Old Testament class, which is fun. We haven't gotten to Ruth. That's like next week. So maybe I'll be able to bring some of those fun little tidbits into the podcast. Maybe it's 2 weeks from now. Not sure. But been interesting. Moab typically has, like, the land of Moab typically has a pretty negative connotation from what we've been reading so far.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
It's been interesting here that that's not the case. I mean, not it normally, I mean, I think it's Moab is where they were when there was a famine. So obviously it's not the best place in the world. But they're not an ungodly people necessarily. So that's just been an interesting tidbit of how Moab is not always great. Unlike the place in Utah, which is great. and then also fun is the theme of food. We've been reading Exodus and now we've moved on through Leviticus and Numbers. But the theme of food and the Lord giving his people food has been huge, because in Exodus, they're like in the desert and everyone's grumbling and they're like, you know, you brought us out of slavery, but now we're starving. Honestly, I'd rather be slaves or I'd rather die. And then God is like, okay, well, you complain so much that I will give to you what you wish. And then all of the people who said they would rather die never enter into the promised land. So some are killed via plague. Others probably just die from natural causes or aging. The timing is unclear, but the theme of food and the Lord giving his people food and their either gratefulness for that or not varies across the Bible. So that's kind of been fun. And then also the emphasis on Naomi, like wanting her daughters-in-law to feel security, is cool. Cause it's now like, I mean, those are the only two people she has left and she's encouraging them to leave her. So I think she obviously is grieving. I mean, like her two sons and her husband died, so that's horrible. And she doesn't have the family that she did. And so she's, I mean, I feel like she's a very interesting character right off the bat.
Yeah, definitely. I love that it is the two of us doing this, because I would never know those other connections because I don't have any theology classes or anything like that. So that's cool. I also really like that connection with Naomi and her like daughters-in-law. I'm excited to see like where it goes from that, because like to see if there's any connections back to Orpah or if she'll just like never be acknowledged again.
Yeah. Also, every time I see her name, I think it says
I think of Oprah. I do too. I paused. I know. No, I completely agree. There's just a lot of death. It is really like, just stands out like so many other books in the Bible. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving right along. How do you think that God can use difficulties and disappointments for his good purposes?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
This one is hard because I mean, I'm not a person who's experienced a lot of difficulties or disappointments. I've just been very fortunate all along the way to have great people who love me and who have been able to love me well. And I haven't lost a lot of people, either in a relationship really falling apart or through death. So this is a hard question for me. I haven't experienced a lot of significant death. Obviously, too, I'm looking at it through the lens of Naomi, who just, I mean, her sons and her husband died and she's left all alone. So obviously, comparatively, I haven't experienced much. But I think, as we will see, I think obviously you grow through these situations and it can be complicated, especially me theologically or just in general, my life philosophy and outlook. It's difficult for me to buy into, you know, a lot of the typical cliches, because cliches are bad because they're so simple that it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
They're very convenient and easy, but also bad at really describing the nuance of life. So it's hard. I'm like, obviously good things come out of bad things, but it's like, it's difficult. I want to give the bad things the space to be bad. So anyways, all of those disclaimers aside, I think a lot of it, you grow. You learn about yourself. I think you learn your shortcomings in those moments. You learn that you need people to rely on. So shout out Ruth for being that gal. and then you also learn like, okay, I was going through a bad time and I learned that I am a super irritable person or I am very impatient. Those are ones I learned about myself.
That's good. Yeah.
So I think you learn a lot. You grow. Yeah. You see your own shortcomings, but then you also see what God has given you to fill what you lack. So that's the people in your life or the peace you are offered through prayer or nature, whatever you prefer. So that's interesting. Yeah, I would say that was kind of my thoughts there.
That is really good. I've also been very fortunate in life to not have, you know, a ton of loss or grief or anything like that. But definitely in like the darker moments, my family, we lost both of my dad's parents. So that was definitely like the biggest two deaths in the family. And the one thing that sticks out to me during that tough time is just like, you get closer with so many other people because you all come together mm-hmm. and like grow those relationships. So, you know, got deeper to my dad because, you know, I saw more glimpses into his life and, you know, we were able to be there for him more when he needed it. And then you can just form like new relationships with family members that maybe you haven't seen in a while. So kind of on that front, it was just cool to see different sides of people. You know, my brother is this big military guy and I don't see much emotion from him, but I saw a lot of emotion and that's just like really cool seeing those moments. And just seeing like how everyone can interact. And now, there's been really beautiful moments where something really big will happen in my life. And I immediately am sad because I'm like, wow, they can't be there to see it. But then it sounds so cheesy. I literally look up at the sky and like, just like think about them for a second, just because I know that like, they'd be so happy. So I think like, obviously hardships aren't good, but there definitely is a lot of good that can come out of it, but you have to truly like seek the good. It's not just gonna be like, oh, something bad happened, this is good. Like, you have to actively look for the light, and or else it's so much easier to spiral than to like pick yourself up out of it.
Yeah. I think people look at optimism as the easy way of life, but I find it to be far more challenging to maintain a really positive outlook.
No, I agree. I've definitely seen that in the last few months. I feel like it's been way easier for me to like dip into low moments than just be like, oh, everything's good. Because I feel like the bad spirals a lot quicker. Okay, so pivoting off of that question, how have times of loss or struggle affected your perception or relationship with God? Obviously Naomi and Ruth are going through it. So we'll see how they kind of react, but what about you?
Yeah. I think I have a bad habit of putting my relationship with God into a bit of a box. So I have my school things, I have these things. I may have spoken about this before, but I feel like I have my God time where I do this or I do that. And I can think about these things during that. I can lean into the silence, but I feel that I also don't really let God in when things are good. I don't really let God in when things are bad. It's kind of, I don't do a good job of really maintaining a super personal relationship with God. And I think just because of that, because I'm not relying on God, I've never had an experience where I'm like necessarily super mad at God or blaming God, but I am more confused intellectually at like how God could be all these things that God is, but then also allow for these bad things. And I think it's led to a lot of questions. I've definitely had some times where I'm like not feeling groovy. So I think,
sorry, that's not funny. It's the word.
No,
choice.
I mean, I don't know why groovy was, I feel like groovy deserves a little bit of a nose out the air out the nose sort of laugh.
So funny.
But yeah, I just think times of loss, struggle, not necessarily mad, but more like, what is this God? Who is this God? How does this happen? It doesn't really make sense. Frustration. And I think my big thing is times of loss and struggle, I just don't really think about God. And I think I turn into a lot of my bad, even sinful habits of like anger and wrong anger. Yeah,
definitely. I agree. I think throughout my life, I've seen so many like I've seen so many ups and downs in how I react to bad things happening, or like how my relationship with God changes. Like you, I've never had times where I'm like, oh, God is purposely doing this to me. Like, it's never been like that type of like struggle. Definitely a lot of confusion of just like, what is going on? What is happening? Right. But I definitely feel like recently I've found it, like, literally I've never voiced this out loud. I've found it easier to almost just like turn off the thought and like not think about God for a few days. It's like easier, because it's harder to let the emotions in and process things than to just block it out and not think about it. And that is when, honestly, it's harder to get through it when you turn it off, because like it's been a week and then you're like, well, my life is still a mess, like what is going on, versus just like dealing with it, let God, you know, bring the emotions through and like you know, help you through it. Be mad, be sad. Like, I think it's better to be something towards God than to not feel. Which is interesting. I mean,
cliched quote, which I just mentioned earlier, I don't like cliches, but I do. I was lying. Love is not the opposite of hate, it's indifference. Hate is not the opposite of love, it's indifference. Sorry, right? Yeah, replacing hate with indifference. Anyways, you get the gist. And I think that's a really interesting point. It also is hard. I've realized I've gotten worse with my personal relationship with God and like maintaining that in difficult or good times throughout the years. Same. I feel like I've just, vulnerability has become a lot bigger challenge for me than it used to be. I feel like I used to be like telling everybody everything, and then I realized, okay, maybe I overshare, and then I think now I don't really share much at all. So
I think maybe I don't, the only connection I can draw to it is like working this summer, like having to put up a wall of like, these aren't people that I can just share every detail of my life about. It made it a lot easier for me just to like turn things off and to just be like guarded and have a wall, because it's a professional environment. Like 9 hours out of the day, I had to actively filter part of myself, you know? So like didn't talk about the podcast much, like didn't talk about my faith much, like that just like those were things that like didn't come up. So inherently, when I wasn't thinking about faith for 9 hours of the day, it's easier just to like kind of let that relationship go,
which is like a scary omen for where
it's our lives really are bad headed. It's like really bad to think about, but if we're recognizing it now.
I feel also, how did you like having those sorts of relationships at work? Like, was it something that now you feel like you liked it and so you're maintaining it? Or is it like a bad habit that you want to ditch?
I think yourself? It's so bizarre, because the summer before, when I was working at Caldi's, everyone knew everything about me. Like, it was, I still talk to everyone today and like we text everything. And that made it hard.
The way you just said text.
How did I say it?
Was a strong accent. And we text. I liked it though.
Thank you.
It's cute.
So that was hard to like separate work from life. There was zero balance. So then this summer it was like my work and my life were very separate, because I didn't have anyone's personal phone number. But I think my faith was stronger before than it was this summer. So it's like kind of a jumble. I think towards the end of the summer, when I started to be like more open, because I was like, okay, well, they want me back, so I can, you know, be a little more myself.
Be myself. Yeah.
Then it almost made me like energized to go to work, kind of, because I was like, wow, this is fun. Like, there is no filter. So I will actively try to not do that. What I did last summer, next summer.
See, I liked it, is the issue.
It's like good, it's fun at times, and not because like, again, you can go home and just be home,
yeah,
and not be like thinking or like hanging out with work people, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked what we talked about, you know, we filled the time, got to know people, but like they don't really need to know my business. I feel like also they naturally did know some of it just because they'd ask, like, do you think you'll come back? So I had to give some, like, honest answers and insights. Obviously, like, I wasn't not sharing anything, but they didn't know if I was having a good day or a bad day or this or that. Yeah. And I, like, enjoyed that. I thought they were great people, loved everyone I worked with. They were so awesome and just really fun people to be around. The most they saw from me was when we did karaoke and I sang Defying Gravity because I clearly was not aware of my audience. None of them knew the song. It was horrible. It was so horrible.
No.
It is a funny memory, but they would like bring it up and I'd be like, we don't need to be doing that because that's really embarrassing for me. Yeah, it was really funny and it was something else. But it was just like, I don't know. I just don't like putting myself in a situation where things could be bad. And at work, I get scared. I'm over paranoid.
It is difficult.
But I'm like, also, I don't want something to happen that like I didn't mean to happen because it like matters. Like if you're with your friends and you say something you shouldn't say, it's like whatever. But if you're with people you're working with and you say something you're not supposed to say, this can be a significant problem. Someone can take advantage of you. 100%. Someone can get your job gone. So I think I really liked the culture. And so that's been something that's weird. It's like, I think I've just become super guarded in the past few months abroad because I was meeting all these new people and it was really, it was just very difficult. It was like great, but it was also really hard. And so then I wasn't talking to people. This summer I wasn't talking to people other than my roommate. So I made some great, very deep relationships. But then also I didn't like talk to anyone and I became very good at being guarded, and I feel like I've always been that way about David in particular. It's like unless I'm making the choice of like confiding because something's frustrating me, which certainly happens, like it's not like I bottle it all up all the time, but like most of the time we could have gone in like a huge fight and like I'm not gonna tell anybody. It's because I don't know any people's opinions. I like to deal with things on my own. I have control issues and I like,
no, it's hard to let the opinion
I don't
flood
like
in.
To let people know and I want to handle everything on my own all the time. But I'm not very good at it. So it's a weird little balance. Anyways, yeah. I feel like that's really interesting. And obviously, Ruth is very different. She's like, I'm going to give up the security of like she could leave. She could like guard herself from this pain and whatever life is ahead of them. I don't know. Two women, no men. That sounds interesting. That's going to be difficult. It doesn't stay that way for long. But anyways, spoiler alert, if you've not read the book of Ruth. But it's like two women going into a land she doesn't know, putting herself in a difficult position and just giving herself to Naomi and like being like, I am now one of your people. Your God is my God. I am going to be buried where you are buried. Like I'm fully committing myself to you. And it's that sort of like complete vulnerability and loyalty that is very scary to me.
It's honestly wild. When I read this passage for the first time, it made me think of something that I did that I'm not proud of. I said I wasn't going to bring up my relationship very much, but this is a relationship situation.
Hey, it comes up. It comes up. Life comes up.
There was a time where I really felt like I acted like Naomi, like me being Naomi and Evan being like Ruth in this instance where here Naomi is saying like, no, like don't follow me like over and over and over again. And like kind of coming out of a place of like anger and grief and all of this. So she's just like trying to like put up that wall. And there was one time this summer where Evan and I were supposed to go to church. And I got frustrated and I was like, no, you don't have to come. And he was like, no, I want to come. And I was like, please don't. And like, it was just like a back and forth of like, no, like I'm going, you know, and he was like, no, I want to come. Or like, I'm going to try to come. And I was like, no, it's fine. And just like that whole mindset of then like you get that anger and then, you know, you're just like stuck in your own ways. So I like, and what did Evan do? He knew that like all that I wanted was for him to be there. So he came just like Ruth is like, no, I don't care how many times you tell me no, like I will be there by your side. So I admire that because even Orpah was like, nah. Yeah.
She took, and it's also weird because a lot of these, I mean, and if I were in Orpah's situation, not Oprah, I feel like it's not like she's doing anything wrong. She's not necessarily abandoning Naomi. Naomi wants her to go. So it's like, easy out, man. Like, I don't need to be for here real. Anymore. And I can just live an easy life and security. And it'll be good for me. Tough for her. But, you know, maybe I'll wish her the best. Yeah, so that's weird. I feel like when people are going through things and they're, like, not opening up, you just be like, okay. And you can back off. But sometimes, like, in your situation, Lexi, like, people want the follow-up or they need it, but are either, like, fiercely independent or more worried about – they refuse to be selfish. So it's it's cool. And I love this line. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Naomi, it's not like she was like, oh, thank goodness. She was like, okay, fine.
I know. She knows how just, like, determined and loyal she was, which is honestly wild. I'm excited for the rest of the story. We could keep talking about this, like, on and on and on for, like, an hour, even though we said we're going to do shorter episodes.
I know. We will next week. We're going to get better. They'll go down and down, and then it'll be 1 minute. That's what it's not like.
True. Well, thank you, everyone. Keep reading, keep reflecting. Maybe we'll post some more questions that y'all can follow up on and get a little discussion going.
Right.
So certainly interactive.
If you're on our social medias, like, comment your thoughts on this passage. Or if you're like, oh, I totally interpreted that a different way. Or if you're like, Ainsley, why'd you bring up that random point about God giving his people food and then, like, literally never brought it up again? That's just because I think I just wanted to be like, oh, I recognize this. You know how it can be when you get excited. So I think that's great. Lex, do you have any lingering thoughts about the passage before we move on to chapter 2 next week?
I do not think that I do. All I know is that I'm so thankful for the footnotes on Bible Gateway saying what, like, Naomi's name was pleasant and then Mara was bitter. And I was just like, so cool.
Very handy, so handy. And it's like, you're like, why is she renaming herself? And then you find out Naomi means pleasant, Mara means bitter, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me.
So that was pretty innovative.
They do, it's fun, like, looking at the footnotes for everyone's names, because it's like, this name literally translate to, and then it has like a full two sentences. How's that one name?
I know.
God has seen me and loved me and has given me a boy. I don't know.
It's crazy. It's cool. It's very cool. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Tune in next week.
Bye.